On Monday and Tuesday of this week, a group of over 100 school leaders from across Milwaukee attended a training on how to address race and cultural differences in their schools. The professional development event was put on by Schools That Can Milwaukee, a local nonprofit. Representatives of Milwaukee Public Schools, private choice schools, and independent charter schools all attended the event.
Rashida Evans joins us now. She's a chief program officer for Schools That Can Milwaukee. Rashida, hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. And also with Rashida in the Milwaukee studios is Tawana Harper. She's the academic dean at Milwaukee College Prep Lloyd Street, and she attended the two-day training event. Tawana, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So, Rashida, let's start with you. Why do school leaders in Milwaukee need to learn about how to deal with race and cultural differences?
The reality is, in Milwaukee right now, what we see is that there primarily are leaders and teachers who are standing before our students are those that don't look like our students, which is not problematic in and of itself, as long as we know that the adults who are standing and working with our kids every day are willing to get to know our kids, understand our kids, and are also really willing to confront any of the biases or their own experiences that may impact their ability to really reach our students academically and through forming positive relationships with them.
And Rashida, when you say cultural differences, what do we really mean there?
Well, in Milwaukee, you may know the facts of Milwaukee, but it's a very segregated city. And so when we're talking about students on the south side, we're typically talking about our Latino students. And when we're talking about students on the north side of Milwaukee, we're typically talking about Black students. And across both areas, there are more white teachers and leaders who are in those buildings than those that look like the students before us. And so that typically is what we're talking about right now.
And Tawana, talk with us about how you see these issues playing out where you are at the Milwaukee College Prep School.
So when I think about like being culturally responsive, Milwaukee College Prep, partnering with Schools That Can and attending the workshops, we know that that has been an issue within our schools, just because, like Rashida stated, there are more of leaders that are white and who may not look like the students that we are servicing and that we, you know, are really trying to change the narrative in which they come to us into our doors. So Milwaukee College Prep has really worked hard in that, even thinking about the diversity in our leadership teams, to make sure that there are students, there are leaders that are in front of students, but also not only with that change, but building things into our daily practices, in our academics curriculum, to where as our students are able to see characters who are like them, and even when thinking about how our students, just their culture and our declaration, that they can see and they can be proud of who they are. So Milwaukee College Prep has already started that conversation. We do know that there is work still there to be done, but we have, again, already started that conversation within our schools.
And it seems like it would be important for students to see people who look like them or come from similar backgrounds who are succeeding and who are leaders in not just the school, but in the larger community.
Absolutely. What we know is that, like, we see a lot of adults, our kids see a lot of adults in schools who may be working in the lunchroom, or they may be cleaning the building, and sometimes they may be disciplinarians, but we also want our students to see individuals like them who are in leadership, who are teachers, other careers as well. So bringing people on career days into the schools that look like them, like, that's important, and making sure that they're exposed to lots of different experiences and are able to see Black people and Latino people who are doing amazing things that are not always portrayed in the media.
And Rashida, I think some people might say, you know, the important thing is that teachers know the subjects they're teaching, they're good instructors, that principals, say, or other leaders in the school know best practices for education. You know, that's the most important thing. But what would you say the responsibility is of teachers and other school administrators to confront issues of race and cultural difference at school?
I think all of those things are important. I would agree with those people, but I would not end there. I think when we have issues in our city, similar to what happened last summer with Sherman Park or other issues, we need adults in the building who are comfortable having conversations with our students about the realities that they're facing every day, whether they agree with them or not. We need them to be comfortable to create a safe space for students to be able to talk about those things. And that can only be done when the adults are doing the individual work to say, here's who I am. This is what I bring to the table. Who are my students? How can I get to know them? How can I get to understand what their daily lives are like as well?
We're talking with Rashida Evans from Schools That Can Milwaukee, and also Tawana Harper. She's the academic dean at Milwaukee College Prep Lloyd Street. And we're talking about a training that happened earlier this week to help leaders in schools in Milwaukee address issues of race and cultural difference. And Tawana, you attended the training. What did you go into it expecting to get out of it or hoping to get out of it?
I would say that I was looking to just some things to take back is just how to, what's the protocol for starting the conversations? And we know that there was an elephant in the room. And what I really like appreciate from Schools That Can is that they allow for leaders in the city of Milwaukee to be able to have a space to start that conversation and have tools to go back. And that was one thing that I wanted to be able to do, because as an academic dean, I am over a large amount of teachers, and at times I want to make sure that I am being just very thoughtful and mindful that all teachers may not have the same background that I have, but they are here and they're ready to do that. They're ready to work hard for the students that are in front of them. So how can I very respectfully help them, support them, guide them with tools to be able to have conversations with their students, feel comfortable, not feel guilty if they have not walked the same story and a narrative of our students, but how they can have that conversation. And so that's what I really wanted to get from the training. And one thing, as Rashida spoke, is that I'm leading now going into this year is definitely starting a conversation with my teachers first to say, well, first with myself to say, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Where do I see myself? And how can I meet people where they are and be humble in that, knowing that I started where they were and know that I'm not far removed from that, and nor could I can go back to that as well, but then also helping them to be able to do that same thing with themselves, the teachers, to say, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? How am I meeting my students where they are? What are my students' stories? Because stories are so powerful, and the training really taught us about the presenters. They had stories. They unpacked all of their stories so that we can see that you come from somewhere, and because you come from somewhere, you come with beliefs, and that now can become your behaviors. So I want to be an academic dean. Yes, I am a person. My role is to, you know, help teachers with curriculum, but it can't just stop there. And so I want to be able to be that leader in front of my teachers, in front of my students. So that's what I gained from the workshops, and that's what I was going in with the open mind to gain those things.
And Rashida, 2 days of training is a fairly significant amount of time, but when you're looking at trying to address issues of race and cultural difference, you could spend years on that and still have work to do. What is the priority of the training? What do you focus on the most?
For this particular training, we wanted to be really thoughtful about doing two things. One, we wanted to balance the time between having leaders do self-reflection and look at their own being and seeing what are the beliefs that they bring to the table with students. The second thing that we wanted them to walk away with were ideas and tools for how to actually apply it in the roles that they're in. So the first day, what we saw was that for pre-work, leaders came in having completed what is called a racial autobiography, where they actually looked at themselves over their lifetime to see when did race first even become an issue for them. And maybe not even an issue, but when did they first notice race and what caused them to notice race? And then what was their most recent interaction with race even up until Monday? But then the afternoon, so after having those conversations and really reflecting internally, we spent the afternoon talking about, now, how does this transfer into the work that we do every day. So we broke out groups into, we had a principals group, we had an instructional leaders group, and then we had a dean's group. So deans are those that are typically managing school culture and student behavior, because we want them to spend some time thinking about how do those experiences impact how they manage discipline and behavior? How does it influence the policies and the procedures that are in place within the school? The same thing for the instructional leaders and the principals. What types of curriculum are in place? How are we coaching teachers, and how are we developing our people to be able to recognize when small biases show up, or even when it's unintentional? I think I tend to assume the best about people and think that most of the people who are doing work in our schools are those people who intend to do it and do it well and connect with kids. And so they may not know when biases or other issues may show up. And so we wanted to be able to prepare our leaders to be able to tackle that in real practical experiences. And we were able to do that in breakout groups Monday afternoon.
We're talking with Rashida Evans from Schools Akin Milwaukee and Tawana Harper from Milwaukee College Prep Lloyd Street about a training for Milwaukee school leaders earlier this week.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How do you think teachers and school leaders should handle issues of race and cultural differences in the classroom? If you're a teacher, how do you handle those things in school? Parents, what are you telling your kids about race and cultural differences? You can call in now at 800-642-1234, and you can also share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion about a training event earlier this week for Milwaukee teachers and school leaders about how to handle issues of race and cultural differences. We have two guests with us right now, Rashida Evans from Schools That Can Milwaukee and Tawana Harper from Milwaukee College Prep Lloyd Street.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What role do you think school teachers should play in addressing race and cultural differences for children? How are these issues handled in your community's school? What do you think teachers should do when confronted with these topics in the classroom or in the hallways? And parents, how do you talk about race and cultural difference with your kids? Call now at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Kelly in Ashland is up first. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, so I am a white teacher, and I am identifying so much with what Rashida and, I'm sorry, I forgot the other speaker's name. Tawana. I know for me as a white speaker, as a white teacher, coming into a classroom where previously I'd taught ESL, and then I moved into a school that was, most of the students were either African American or other students of color. And even though I'd actually studied a lot of the culture, I was a Spanish speaker and things like that, that it realized that a lot of that cultural knowledge didn't transfer to my African American students, and that I had a lot of internalized biases that I didn't even realize I had, because where I lived was a mostly white neighborhood. My family's white. I grew up in a small rural white town. And yeah, it just made me really, I had a black principal at the school, and she was really great. And it just, being at the school and being with my students, it was a real opportunity for me to look at what I didn't even know was unintentional biases, like thinking my students were really loud at first when I first started working at the school, or I got the opportunity to watch some of my black colleagues teach. And there was a call and response form of teaching that they were using that I had never seen before, but which was really successful. And when I started using it with my students, I realized that I was teaching to a very narrow band of what I knew to be education, and that there's actually a much wider band of how to reach students and what does care mean to different students. It was a really great opportunity for me as a white person and as a white teacher. But I definitely felt there were times when I was not there for my students of color in the way that I would have liked to have been.
Well, Kelly, thanks so much for sharing that experience and those thoughts with us. And Tawana, as an academic dean, you do supervise a lot of teachers. Do you see that kind of eye-opening, that epiphany happening with teachers who are in a setting where maybe a lot of the kids come from a background that's different from theirs?
Yes, I see this on a daily basis, and because I know that I feel that, like Rishi said, people are there, like, with very good intentions. I want to assume the best. And I always go by the quote, like, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And the lady who, to me, was just on the, who called in, she really cared. She was vulnerable and willing to get to know the students who were in front of her. And I feel like when teachers come to me knowing that, you know, I am here for them and I support them, they're willing and we can work together with helping them, that when they have those times where they feel like maybe I shouldn't be here. So I deal with that on a daily basis. And I just think that if you have a leader, like she said, she had a leader who understands and supports, it's a collaborative effort. I've just seen some powerful work come from that.
I think the thing that I would add is that sometimes I think the belief, especially for our white teachers, can be that if we are talking about race or bringing up issues of race, it means that there's a belief that they shouldn't be teaching our kids or black and brown children. And that's not the reality at all. And so because we're bringing up the issue doesn't mean that we question whether they can be there or that they can be effective. It just means that it's important that each of us are willing to do the work internally to be able to reach our kids in the best possible way, and that we're willing to do the work that it takes to allow our children to be themselves in the classroom. And it means that if there are some kids who show up loud, some kids are loud, some black children are loud, some black children are not, but that we are willing to do the work to get to know each student as they are, and we're careful not to overgeneralize or not to ignore some things that are cultural, because those are real, and some things that are just specific to children. And so I think that requires us to be thoughtful in how we show up every day. But it doesn't mean that because we have work to do or because we have some things to work through in ourselves that we cannot teach all of our children. That's not what that means at all.
Thanks so much for that call, Kelly. And let's go back to the phones. And Don in Madison is up. Hi, Don.
Hi. First of all, thank you all for everything you're doing. I'm a proud Milwaukee Public School grad, so I love the work that you guys are doing in Milwaukee. And I also teach at UW-Madison, and this past semester I got to know Nigel Hayes, the basketball player, and I had him come guest lecture in my class. And to emphasize a point you made earlier, he was very gracious with his time, answering lots of questions. And one of the things he talked about was how important it is to have diversity in leadership positions as well as in instructional positions, because as a kid, he didn't have a lot of role models growing up. And he said, you know, a lot of people look at this person who's teaching, and he pointed at me, and he goes, you know, I have great respect for him, but how helpful it would be for me to see people like myself in positions of instruction. And it's really important that we support and help build up leadership mentalities in all kinds of people. And he told stories about how he had a few people who helped nurture that and how important that was. So I just wanted to point that out about how incredibly important that is. And as a white male, I never saw that growing up until I started working a lot in American Indian communities and started realizing, you know, my frame of the world was limited. And the role models I saw, you know, as the points you guys were making earlier, looked like me, so I didn't even think of it until I started putting myself in the position of the Native kids I was working with. And really, it opened my eyes a lot to how important it is to have good mentors and good role models from all different ethnicities and communities.
Don, thanks so much for that call. And Rashida, it sounds like, you know, people who are exposed to these kind of eye-opening and perspective-shifting experiences really learn a lot from it and really embrace it.
I think that is the case. I think when people are willing to do the work, they're surprised at just how eye-opening it is. I think one of the biggest takeaways, and this can be from a racial perspective or even from a socioeconomic perspective, is that everybody's American dream is different. And I think that sometimes in the classroom, our goal is to push our children towards one American dream, and without realizing that they may have their own dreams that may very well different from what is a traditional white American dream. And I think we need to honor that. I think our goal behind having conversations about race or talking about culturally responsive pedagogy is that, like, our kids are prepared for whatever, and so that they are free to make the choice to live however they choose to live. And I think that is the biggest piece of all of this for me.
Rashida, do you think this type of training being of use is unique to Milwaukee, or is it something that all educators in Wisconsin could benefit from?
I definitely think it's something that all educators could benefit from. I don't think there's ever any harm in people taking the time to get to know other people. I think it honors everybody who exists. And I think sometimes, without realizing it, we can just assume that everybody is working towards the same thing, or everybody's existences or experiences are the same. And that's just not the reality for everyone. And I think taking the time to get to know other people and to invest in other cultures, I think it just makes us better people all around. And I think whether it's in the field of education, if it's in the business world, there's never any harm in being willing to do that.
Just briefly, as we wrap up, how do you think this training might look different in a community where maybe it's 95% or more white population?
I think it could actually look the same. And I think we happen to be talking about race this week. I think there are other issues that we could tackle just as deeply. And I think even if it was a school that was 95% white, I think there's still value in having people explore the biases that they bring, because the world isn't 95% white. And I think we need to be prepared for what's in the world. We talk about a global economy a lot. Even if we just look within our state, like we this state is diverse. While it is segregated, it is also diverse. And I think there is value in having any group of people spend time doing the internal work to be able to accept other people as they are.
Well, Tawana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Rashida, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
Rashida Evans is Chief Program Officer for Schools That Can Milwaukee, and Tawana Harper is Academic Dean at Milwaukee College Prep Lloyd Street. They joined us to talk about training for race and cultural difference in Milwaukee.